Hello and welcome back to the Evolving Hockey Podcast. My name is Sean and I'm joined by the Evolving Wild Twins, Josh and Luke. And tonight we are here talking about the fantasy projections that just got released. We're recording on September 5th, and Josh and Luke, in their usual fashion at 2:30 in the morning their time, basically released the fantasy projections out to the world, beating Dom Lushishin, who I never pronounced his name correctly, but it's close enough. You need to, you know, give me some credit there. Beat him by, I think it was roughly like 8 hours.
Hell yeah.
So congratulations. Congratulations. We're still waiting on the X-Gar write-up, but that's okay because the fantasy projections are out before Dominic.
Yeah, I didn't quite realize that, and we were kind of talking off air before this, is that we were in a bit of crunch mode because, and I'll maybe get into this later, is that I thought some things were in order, and then it turns out they weren't, and so I had to spend pretty much like 3 days straight just like retraining all the models, and we had kind of announced that they were going to come out on Monday, on today. So they were released today, technically, but it was like kind of last night because Luke and I were still up working on them, and I wasn't paying attention to Twitter or like the other fantasy stuff or, you know, when Dom was going to come out. And then Sean, I saw it this morning when Sean was up or whatever, as I was going to bed, that that Sean was like, oh, they beat Dom. Like, that's like, and I was like, oh, yeah, Dom was probably going to have his out like pretty
but
soon.
It's, let's just
I just
be honest,
missed that
it,
he,
it,
you know.
It's the most very sensible time to release fantasy hockey projections, which were basically, well, we're 5 weeks before the season starts, essentially. We're a little less than 5 weeks. It's the Tuesday after Labor Day in the U.S., which, you know, is, you know, everybody's kind of getting back into work. Perfect time to release some fantasy projections. So, you know, great minds.
I also feel like, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Sean, but like basically once Labor Day hits, then it's kind of like hockey is kind of starts back up in a way. I mean, there's obviously been some stuff, but I think that people kind of take Labor Day. And then because preseason starts in like a week, doesn't
no.
it?
No.
Or is it 2 weeks?
Kind of. I mean, captain's practices started today.
Yeah.
You kind of have it right. You throw the white pants into the closet, and you bring out the hockey skates.
Have you ever worn white pants before, Sean?
I have never worn white pants. I believe that I may have worn white shorts. Like, I really don't doubt that I've worn white shorts. Oh, well, okay. Baseball pants.
Oh, okay. That doesn't
count,
though.
But as a fashion statement, I've never worn white pants, and I have not worn white shorts at the very least in the longest time. But I wouldn't doubt that maybe I wore white shorts like to golf like a long time ago. But
because what is it? The thing is that it's not pants. It's just that you can't wear white after Labor Day, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. It's
forbidden.
I was just gonna look this up on and try to go down the rabbit hole of figuring out why that thing exists, and then I was like, nobody wants to hear us talk.
Hold on, let me.
I don't know, but like, doesn't it feel like once fall is in the air, like why are you wearing white? Because then white, like the fall is like kind of damp, at least like in a good portion of the United States is like kind of like more damp and cool. You got the leaves, like the colors that you wear are gonna change to kind of match like the.
Yeah.
Color the leaves changing.
I mean, I don't really.
Pumpkin
who
spice
owns
lattes that you're drinking?
I mean, I don't own a lot of white clothing to begin with.
Yeah. I have some shirts, like a dress shirt.
I'm
like
wearing my Little League All-Star jersey right now. You see this?
Luke anyway. Should be, like, he wears this shirt. This is from when we were. And I, you know, shout out to Luke and I. We were so, as a lot of people know, we were not.
You just hockey. Shout out yourself.
I know. Shout out to Luke and I for we were really good baseball players. I mean, and you know, we didn't take it all that seriously as we got into high school, but we were on the Golden Valley Little League team. This is somewhat on topic because Little League World Series was just going on. I don't know if you watched any of that, Sean, which I like to tune into every so often just to see how insane the kids are. But we made the All Star team for Golden Valley that was. In a tournament that was basically the lowest level of where these Little League tournaments start. And I don't remember how we did, but it was a big deal because we got the names on our jerseys and we represented the city and in like sixth grade or something, or seventh grade. I think, no, sixth grade, wasn't it?
I put on for my city. On for my city.
anyway.
Sorry, we got way off topic.
We did get way off topic.
But yeah, so
you
now,
just said it was on topic.
I was on the Little League World Series was somewhat on topic because you see what I'm doing here? I'm going for this nice little string of tangents I'm connecting here. Anyway, so yes, fantasy projections. I'll get back on topic here. Fantasy projections were updated ahead of Dom. I guess that Sean is proud of that. I didn't even think about it. Now, and again, it doesn't matter how good the projections are. It's about how early you get them out. That's what really matters. And how you win.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched Margin Call?
Yeah. That's a great movie.
One of my favorite movies, right?
I'm surprised you've seen that movie.
What does he say? It's one of the best movies of all time.
It doesn't matter.
What are the three things that he said?
Jeremy Irons says this.
Remind me because I'm not going to be able to say it exactly right. I know exactly what you're saying though.
Well, I don't remember the exact quotes, but you either to get ahead, you either cheat, be the smartest, or be the first.
Yeah.
And you're not going to cheat, and it's a hell of a lot easier just to be first.
It is, yeah.
So there you are.
And usually we're not first for because I think that normally we're like a day or two after Dom. I think that's how it's been the last couple. This is our third year doing these, and I'm pretty sure that Dom usually releases them around now. But I think last year he was a little early, and then 2 years ago when we first released it, if people remember, and it's referenced in the article that I linked in the tweet, and also it's on our glossary on our site, is that there was some discourse around our initial release of it with Dom. So there's kind of been this somewhat friendly rivalry, I think, between the Evolving Hockey projections and the Athletics projections, because technically Dom's are the Athletics. So anyway,
Shayna does help out here, but you know,
we don't have a rivalry with Shayna, just Dom.
We have a fierce rivalry where Dom dunks on us on social media constantly, and then we try to get back.
Although it's been a
somehow.
While since we've really kind of had that back and forth. Maybe we should start that up again, where Dom is just dunking on us on Twitter. But
yeah, maybe.
Anyway, so what should we do? Should I explain kind of how they work? I mean, we've already kind of talked about it, but I can give a rundown of like how they work and what went into them and stuff like that.
I say give a quick rundown of what they work, how they work, and then let's dive into like the hot takes.
I don't think there's really that many hot
there
takes.
Really isn't, but that's okay. Yeah. We can make them up.
So I'll chat about the modeling. Luke can talk about the tool, because I think the models are really important, obviously, but also one of the things that I think is really handy and that Luke and I are both very proud of is how the tool works on the site, because it's pretty nice. We used it last year for our league, and it wasn't the fault of the projections that we didn't do well. It was the fault of Luke and I being terrible at fantasy sports.
No, that's not it. It was what the problem was last year. If people, longtime listeners of the podcast, would know that we were complaining about our fantasy hockey leagues last year.
Yeah, we were.
The problem was that Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns and Tage Thompson. Well, no, not Tage.
Sorry, this is later. Okay, so I'm going to do a quick rundown. Obviously, for more information, or I shouldn't say obviously, this is because it's not entirely obvious. We have an article that's linked, I believe, in our references, although maybe it's not. Maybe we need to add it to the references. It's in the glossary. We also have a tool or a article that covers it. But it's pretty similar. The model overall is pretty similar to how like our GAR projections model works, except we don't have the uncertainty aspects, because that's not necessarily what I think people are looking for. That's a whole other thing I won't get into, but we take the past like 3 years for, I believe it's 16 total models that cover all of the different metrics in fantasy to the best of our ability. Now, there's a couple we don't include. We don't predict goalie shutouts. We don't predict game-winning goals. And we don't. I think there's one other one that I'm forgetting,
like the random ones that are people
there's
just
another,
tick the box to just have a random like luck thing.
Yeah, and yes. So and is it? Yeah, I think it's just
not
those
takeaways,
are the,
is it?
No, I don't think takeaways
don't
are really.
I don't think so either.
The other one, yeah.
Face-offs
are in there. Face-off wins are in there. We don't have face. I think face-off differential might be. Some leagues might have that. We just do face-off wins, and not losses are not included. So for the skaters, there's 12 models, and the goalies have 4. And I won't go through all of them, but the goalies are game starts, wins, shots against, and goals against. And with shots against and goals against, you can then get save percentage as well. So that's where those come from. The skaters, let's see if I can just do this off the top of my head. Goals, assists, time on ice per games played, blocks, hits, penalty minutes, plus minus, and face-offs, I think.
Power play points
and shorthanded points, and I think there's one more I'm missing. And each one penalty minutes. So those are the 12 that are for skaters. And each one of them is takes prior 3 years for every player. It's very similar to kind of, in a similar way, like our contract model and also the GAR model where it takes prior 3 years. It deals with 1 and 2 year players a little bit differently where we have to kind of have different models for those or account for them separately because they don't have a full 3 year prior. And we use a model called Light GBM. It's a gradient boosting model that we've talked about before. I kind of covered it a little bit more in the article. I won't go into in depth there. But ultimately, it just gives our prediction for each of those. And then that kind of gets then added up and accounted for a total value. So maybe, Luke, you could chat about kind of that part. That's
yeah, we
more
should
Luke's
also
part.
Add that we rescale.
Yeah, that's kind of, yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I'm letting you add that now.
Yeah,
go ahead and add
so
that, Luke.
When we, I think for with when you're predicting these type of stats, any type of like, I mean, well, not any type, but like a lot of the prediction models like that you're going to be using, like. Even if you're like, if we were using, for instance, linear regression or something like linear regression, they are going to shrink the projection like a lot. So, like, I think that when, so in order to make it more digestible, I guess would be the way to put it, is that we rescale all of the projections to have a standard deviation around the, or, to match the observed mean and standard deviation of each distribution for each stat, which gets a little complicated, but essentially it just, you can envision it as like if you have a bell curve, right? You have like a normal distribution. If it's kind of one, like the projected value will be thinner from the positive, the high end and then low end when compared to the actual observed results from like a single season. If that makes sense. So what we do is we rescale it to expand it out so that it is a little bit more digestible and looks...
It's more in line with what
people
expect.
It's more in line
expect.
With what people expect the projections to look like.
Because what I think that we did the first year, and this is 2 years ago now, so this is our third iteration of these, is the first year we released them just in their raw projected form. And we have reasonings, again, in the article we wrote that covers how we and why we did this. It does make the projections actually worse overall. But the thing is that this also helps the other thing to take into account is that for fantasy hockey, you don't, unlike contracts or unlike maybe even like the GAR projections, is that you don't really care about the bottom half of the league for fantasy. Because for most leagues, there's, you know, there's eight managers at minimum usually, and you usually have something like 23 to 28 players. And so at most you're getting maybe 200 players out of the league. Where that leaves, I don't know, you know, I mean, you could probably count, it would leave out 600 players or whatever for a given season. And so this way also helps us kind of optimize the higher end players who usually are the ones that are what people want. And it kind of adds a certain, I guess just it makes them kind of fit more in line with how fantasy actually works from a drafting standpoint is the other thing.
Yeah. And also I think, so for instance, if I'm not going to remember like the exact numbers, but I believe that, like for point totals. So I think our top two are McDavid and Draisaitl, and their raw projection was like, each was at like 107, I want to say. And so that was how many points we had projected, the model projected them initially. And so when we rescaled, it was like, there's some rounding issues here, or not issues, but there's some rounding that's separating. Like McDavid is 1 point higher than Draisaitl on the projections, but a lot of that is just rounding. And so when we scale from the raw value, McDavid goes up to like 130 points, which is going to look, I think, more like if we put out the projections, like this is what we did the first year we released it, and we had McDavid at like a little over 100 points, and everybody was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? Like,
the original discourse is that I think ESPN had McDavid projected at like 155 points or something. And I had a tweet that was a little bit just short, a little bit, maybe a little too quick, if you want to say that, essentially said that this is just means that this isn't a real model. Because and this is the thing from our experience, is given the way that goals, assists, like these kind of things happen year over year, a model with the amount of data that we have is unable to get to a value that high.
A level of certainty.
A level of certainty, because these are the output of the model is the point estimate, and there's obviously error bounds around this. And so you would usually have a point estimate that's lower than what would be expected, kind of, just because of the amount of uncertainty year over year in goal scoring for the population. But I don't know. We could ramble
yeah,
with this
but
a
anyway,
long time.
So just to get back to
Sean wants to interject here.
But hold on. Just basically is that it doesn't actually change the ranking of any of the players.
No.
Like the projection, the ranking of, say, goals, like for players, it just is scaling it from the middle of the distribution outward. It's applying a expansion.
And we've spent too much time on this because this doesn't really matter. Like ultimately,
it doesn't matter. It's something that we kind of did because the other thing to note is that all of the metrics are then weighted. Like most people play in a points league, right? So fantasy.
Well, I think it's kind of split.
Okay, a lot of people, but if you're in a points league. Like, for instance, plus minus is, like, impossible to predict, right? I mean, it's not impossible.
It's just dumb.
It's just... But, like, it's really hard. And so because of that, there's a lot of uncertainty. So the actual point estimate is a lot... The distribution of the projections is really shrunk. And so when you go to weight that as, relative to, say, hits, which I think are probably the easiest thing to predict, bro, you can correct me.
Huh?
Like hits. Hits
four are shots are usually pretty good.
Yeah,
blocks
shots.
Are pretty repeatable. I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
face-off wins are up there too.
Basically, it's going to put a lot more weight into a player's shot totals as opposed to something that's harder to predict like goals or assists. And so in order to make it so that the weighting for each of the projection or for each of the categories in a points league is equal, we expand or we rescale each projection to match the observed distribution that or
yeah,
our
this
best
is, and
we can.
We don't need to spend more time on this rescaling aspect because the actual thing that I think is better is what I was hoping you were going to talk about, Luke, is the tool, is the way that the tool works, which is set up to, and I'll just briefly cover this, is it's set up for that depending on what your league settings are and what categories you're using, there's a couple different options. So you can select both your scoring, so we have a points league ranking and categorical or categories ranking, and then you can select your specific categories, and then when you select your categories, if you're in a points league, you can put your own weights in. And then we have something that we've called fantasy player value. That's just a kind of a made-up term that we just put in there just because it's essentially the raw or the outcome of the weights and how that affects the league or I mean the rankings for the projections. And so that's the short version of it, as we said we were going to do. And whenever we say something is going to be short, then it's never going to be short.
And then Sean was just yawning in the background.
Yeah, he's nodding off in the background.
I apologize, Sean. You looked like you had something to say.
I want to get into the fun stuff.
Done now.
First of all, okay. who do you think is the highest plus minus projected player among all players next season without looking?
Brad Marchand.
No.
Like, this is a really stupid question.
McDavid.
I'm going to go with McDavid.
No, it's not McDavid.
Matthews.
Matthews is third.
It's got to be a defenseman. McAvoy.
One of Sean's favorite players.
McAvoy.
No, McAvoy is
Marner.
Six. Not Marner. He is 13th.
Oh, I thought it was going to be.
Hedman?
Well, you don't take team stuff into effect, eh?
No. It didn't matter. I tried.
But
it,
he just
plus
said McAvoy,
mine.
And it's not McAvoy, right?
Yeah, McAvoy's like top 10. He's six. It's Jason Robertson is the number one for the projected plus minus player.
Oh, better than Kaprizov. Kaprizov's numbers is close.
All right, sorry. I'm interrupting you, Sean. Go ahead with the fun stuff.
So here's the thing. Like there was everywhere on Twitter, well, I say everywhere, like multiple times I think I saw of players that scored 99 points last year. Actually, let me pull this up. Give me a second. But players that scored 99 points last year. Of like which one will break over the barrier this year, essentially. So there is Hughes, Marner. Oh, it's just Hughes and Marner. So Hughes and Marner both scored 99 points last year, but I think they also threw in like Thompson and maybe Point or Stützle, stuff like that, to like make it like four like younger players.
Yeah.
The fantasy projections are a great way to definitely take full truth that this is the complete projection.
Yeah.
And you guys go in totally opposite directions with the players, which I found fascinating. So Mitch Marner just like on like the default weights page, right, is like fourth in the fantasy projections.
Mm-hmm.
And in points projections, he's third, meaning points like goals and assists. with 40 goals. Mitch Marner, 40 goal scorer. Mr. Muffin Shot.
He had 40 last year.
81 assists.
Or no, he didn't have 40 last year. He had 30 last year.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. You got to explain it through to me. 35 is his career high. He did it in 72. So, like, all of a sudden, yeah, last season, like 2021, 22, all of a sudden he, like, didn't have, like, as bad of a shot. Crazy stuff. So, Marner, 121 points projected next year. Jack Hughes projected to take a step back at 89 points with 38 goals and 51 assists. So can you explain yourself here?
The short answer to that is no, I can't really.
Did you put a weight in the model? Is this like Toronto bias?
No, there's no Toronto bias. So I will say that last year we were very high in Marner as well in the model. I don't quite remember. Why don't I just pull up what we had him projected at? Because I took him with my first overall in the draft last year.
Wait, you took him first overall or your first round pick?
My first round pick, sorry.
I think, Josh, you were at like what, sixth?
Yeah, it was like the sixth pick or something, or seventh pick maybe. It was like it was a top 10 pick. It was not first overall. I'm pretty sure it went, well, it doesn't matter. So last year we had him projected at 108 goal, 108 points, or 105 points. I think that it's, the model is usually, there's a lot of age involved. I think age is one thing. So I think that there's,
but Jack Hughes,
I know,
is younger.
No,
I'm getting better now.
I know. And I can't really, this is going to sound like a cop out, but it is like a little bit of a black box.
It sounds like, right, but it sounds like the opposite thing to think. Like, you would think that if Jack Hughes and Mitch Marner are, you know, roughly the same, they had the same point projection last year, for Hughes to be kind of like regressing point-wise, while Marner just has by far a career high.
Yeah, I think one of the things that
crazy,
it's because it looks at prior 3 years. I think that Marner has had, he put up 97 points in 21-22, right? And he 99 points last year, right? Where Hughes put up 99 points last year, but 56 points the year before. And I think that if you just look at it that way, I think that's more of what the model is taking into account, is so this gets into kind of the idea of a very simple linear regression type model, which we've talked about before, but like Tom Tango's, like Marcel the Monkey projections, which is like the lowest level model that any other system should be able to beat, which takes prior 3 years, takes a weighted average of those usually, and then accounts for age. And so if you can picture a chart where on the x-axis is each of Jack Hughes' three prior seasons, and then on the y is the point totals, you can see that he would go up, 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 you know, each year. But if you take an average of those three, it's going to say that
it's going to split the difference.
It's going to split the difference of his previous like two or three seasons weighted, right? And so because he still has that second year in, a system that takes into account prior performance is usually going to say, if you have a huge increase in one season, it's oftentimes going to be a little bit more lower on your projection than it was the prior season, for instance. Now, I'm not saying this is the reason why. I think there's a lot of things that come into account or that are taken into account here that could also be a part of this. And I'm going to be completely honest, is that there are some things with these kind of gradient boosting models that the model is a better model than anything else we could use. But there are sometimes unexplained aspects of why certain things are happening. But my best guess would be that Marner just has two very consistent seasons of basically 100 points, where Hughes just has the one, and it's almost twice as much as what he did the year before. Now, I know that age is a thing, and that you might, if you look at Hughes's like trajectory, you would say, oh, well, next season he's going to get 150 points. But that's just not really how it always works. But I don't know if that's enough of an explanation for Sean to not be still be questioning these things.
It's good enough.
You're putting him on the spot here.
Yeah, I hadn't been looking at Marner versus Hughes. I was looking at Marner in general. I saw, oh, well, he's just got two seasons of basically 100 points. Like, that kind of makes sense.
I was kind of looking at like Kaprizov, for instance, also kind of dropped down a little bit from what I was expecting, but he only played, I think it was 67 games last year, and his kind of points per game also dropped last year. So that's kind of one of the things where I think that, you know, in that. And the other thing I should say is that the model is not only taking into account like their goal totals or whatever. There's other metrics that are, I mean, I think, right, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, there's other metrics that are involved. And so it's picking up on patterns with prior player trajectories that something like a linear regression might not be able to as well. Now, how much better that makes it, I would say, in certain cases, it makes it a lot better. The other thing is that something like a gradient boosting model is it can actually match the distribution of the underlying data much, much better than a linear regression, which is really just designed to be used on standard distribution, like generally. So when you're like modeling goals, like that would be something that's a counting stat that has a really different distribution than a standard distribution. It would be more of like a Poisson distribution, which you would you could use a different. But gradient boosting models kind of model the underlying distribution a lot better, which makes them better for a general case use for things where you don't have a standard distribution that you're working with. But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. What's the next grilling, Sean?
I don't know, but I was going to continue on this, I think, or finish it up. But it's interesting. I guess Marner's like average draft position on Yahoo is like 18.
Yeah.
Something like that, which seems very low. So I think, you know, that could be a good late first, early second round pick for somebody here.
Yeah, value pick.
Yeah. And I mean,
what I screwed up last year when I was drafting is that I didn't have like, you know, sleepers, or I didn't let people fall to the position where they were normally like ranked at, even, and so like, and take somebody I had, you know what I mean?
That was our fatal flaw.
That was my
year.
Flaw last year was that I literally drafted the player. What I would say I'm pick 80. I drafted like the person right at 80, you know, which is a bad draft strategy, I will say. Cause normally when I do fantasy stuff, I pull up like, three or four or five different rankings, right? And I'm kind of quickly going between all of them to compare to trying to get an average, which I will say is I was pretty happy using our site last year because it was a nice tool, which is good because, you know, we joke that a lot of the pages on the site we just make for ourselves and think that other people might enjoy them too.
That's not always the case.
It's not always the case, but for the fantasy stuff, I thought it was pretty fun. Kind of doing an actual fantasy draft with the tool that we made, which was fun.
And I don't mean to interrupt you here.
No, no, no.
Bro,
but please interrupt
me. The other
me.
Thing I will say about, especially like on the high-end players, is that especially the last two seasons, like the outliers in terms of points and like goals and assists have really kind of like broken away from the pack, if you will, is that I think that there's been this increase in scoring overall in the last couple of years that has shown up, and so the model is now trying to account for that. But also the way that these models generally work with their outputs is that there's a certain kind of upper limit that they're ever willing to go from a projection standpoint, so just because of how they work and like the kind of math behind it, which I'm not going to get into because also honestly I don't know everything that goes into how the actual algorithm works, but like you see kind of some weird things where like you look at McDavid versus Draisaitl. Like this is one thing I saw is that we have him projected to be the same point total next year. And I think that McDavid we have is like one more goal and Draisaitl is like one more assist or something like that. And, you know, vice versa with the difference. And I think what it is that, you know, like Marner's up there too, is that for these players, I think they're reaching this level with the model where it just is not because of the, this is not just, we're not just projecting, like I said, like the top 200 players in the league. We're projecting the entire population. And you will see that if you sort like the opposite way of fantasy player value is that we have some that are negative value players, which is kind of funny to
which
think
are
about.
Goalies who are going to be projected to play like four games or something.
Yeah. And so we do provide every player that we think is going to play next season, including also players who missed last season, which is there were a lot of players actually that I was not aware of that are potentially coming back. Was it Peter Holland? Did you see that he signed a PTO with Colorado this summer? And he hasn't played in the NHL for 5 years or something. But the other one,
they're
like,
gonna make a movie on it or a Netflix series.
Yeah. There's a few others, like Sean Couturier is coming back next season, who didn't play at all last season. Cam Atkinson didn't play last year. Let's see, who were the other? Perunovic didn't play last season. There's another big one that's coming back next. Shillington, I think, didn't play.
Yeah.
And then Leonard missed all season. I think Drieger did too, right? I believe.
Yeah.
Goalie wise. And then there's one other player that I'm forgetting right now.
But anyway.
Oh, Brandon Sutter is back next season. Oh. Next season. So there's like eight or nine.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Who's he playing for?
Canucks.
I think Vancouver still. At least this is what I asked on Twitter, and this is the responses. And I went and looked, and yeah, Sutter hasn't played for 2 years. I guess it was like long COVID symptoms that he was dealing with. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong about that, but I'm almost positive.
But anyway, we should just give the
Let me finish my point because I got way off topic as I'm wont to do. Is that we're projecting all the players, and so these are the players that are the very very edge case players that I think with McDavid and Draisaitl, but a few of the other high end players. From the actual numbers that the model is outputting, it kind of reaches this, like, it gets a little bit wonky just because it's on the very, very tail of, like, the actual distribution for all the players that we projected. And so sometimes it just looks a little bit strange. But overall, I think the rankings, they look pretty good. And, like, we were kind of comparing to Dom's a little bit, and there's not really that much difference outside of, the Marner one is higher. I think we are a little bit lower on, like, I don't know.
It's just, you know,
Nichushkin.
Yeah, Nichushkin was one who I don't even know if he's going to play next season, so it might not even matter. The other one were goalies. I thought was interesting is that we now have Jake Oettinger as the number one goalie.
I was about to bring that up.
Okay, yeah. You go ahead, Sean.
The U Terrier. Yeah, you guys have the U Terrier, Jake Oettinger.
Lakeville, Minnesota zone. Yep.
As the top goalie. I mean, there's not much spacing with the top goalies. It's almost like, you know, there's basically like six good goalies and then you kind of get like a fall off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a really big fall off between Ullmark and Hart, which is 10 and 11.
Yep.
You know, but like Otter, Saros, Hellebuck, Vasilevsky, Shesterkin, Gorgiev, I think is part of it's just kind of a team effects thing as well.
Yeah.
Sorokin are all kind of just at the top. You can kind of pick any of them. But I think it really likes Oettinger, again, because of the team effects, right? With, like Dallas being a good team defense in front of him, and then he's a good goalie.
Yeah.
And he's kind of a workhorse.
Yeah.
Whereas like the others, well, Vasilevsky's got a decent defense in front of him, but the others are kind of stuck in an endless hell.
Yeah. And I will say, at least with my luck last season, is I am going to be drafting one of those top 10 goalies like a lot higher than I draft. I think I took Demko as my first goalie last season, and I took Vanacek as my second.
Let's skip on the fantasy projections then. Let's talk a little bit about, like, you looked at the fantasy projections. I think you're playing a league again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
It actually ended up being like a very competitive league when I wasn't anticipating it being that competitive.
So what's kind of your like new strategy here? I think that's what people would want to hear.
Luke's done a lot of thinking
about
this.
No, go ahead. This was like a Gen Z like
okay.
kind of league.
Here's what I'm going to say is that in the past, like we've been playing fantasy hockey probably since maybe 10 years, maybe 8 years, like on and
longer
off.
Longer than that.
Well, 10 years I'd say. And we used to play categories leagues. First of all, after doing a head-to-head points league, I ended up with like the second out of eight. I had the second highest points for, and I think like I had my points differential overall, like points, but I also had like the most points against. So my opponents just were super great when they played me. And my team was like second best with points four, but I just got really unlucky with my opponents. Like, you know, I played one of my friends had, you know, he took Tage Thompson, and I had him like, I played him both of the weeks that Tage had those like 8 point games or whatever. Do you remember that? Like, he had a five
December
goal game.
December 7th, he completely obliterated.
Yeah.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
And it was it was one of those things where it was like there was one game on or something, or two games on that night. And
it was one of those nights. It was a Wednesday night.
Yeah. And there were, I don't know how you remember this.
Well,
but
the other
there
thing,
was a,
the,
there,
our league was a little weird because the person who won our league, he And he actually just got married this past weekend. Shout out Cody if you're
Congratulations.
Listening.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Cody. Cody. We were at a great wedding. It was a great time.
Cody.
Yeah, it was
Hopefully
a great time.
It was at a Menards.
But he also won our fantasy league.
It was not at a Menards.
And
no.
And he had the most, or he had the least points for in the league, and also the least points. Wasn't that what it was?
Yeah, it was something like. Anyway, so what I was going to say is that if our friend, I think head to head leagues are much more fun. Personally, because it's you're going up against someone, like generally it's somebody that you know, so there's a competitive thing there. But I feel like, you know, if it would have been a rotisserie league, I would have had more fun playing it because but our friends I don't think would. The people who are in our league, they really like the head to head aspect. So we'll keep doing that. But I will say that just note that was my main takeaway from last year was that and it's not the life is not fair.
Yeah,
that was the main takeaway. Yeah,
but also to Sean's original question is what the way that we used the projections last season were. Luke and I had them in an Excel doc, and as players were drafted, I kind of started to color code the players that were taken, and I went by the book order of our projections. Now, as kind of we talked about earlier, like what Sean said, is that what I will try to do better this season is one thing is kind of eyeballing where our projections differ from like where the ESPN rankings or whatever we're on differs, right? Because there's some players that I took way higher than I needed to because they weren't going to go that high. But I was going by our projections and I wasn't paying attention to like the trends, which is also the second thing, which is sometimes in a draft, you'll have a run on defensemen or goalies where people start taking goalies and then everyone feels like they need a goalie. And so all the goalies go. And I just said, okay, whatever, that's not in line with our projections. But part of it was that I was not analyzing the kind of the draft environment as it was happening that well because I was too focused on the actual order of ours to make sure that we did it in the right way. So this season I'm going to be a lot more trying to be open to eyeing kind of what our league is, how they are drafting, also kind of trying to do a better comparison about where I think a player will be taken versus where I think they should be taken. Because last season, the only thing that Luke and I did was we just drafted where, based on our projections, they should be taken.
Now, if I give this a kind of analog to Magic the Gathering drafting, they call this letting something wheel.
Yeah.
So if you're in a Magic the Gathering draft, there's eight players.
Does Sean even know what that is? Does he have any idea what you're even talking about?
Nope.
Yeah. Anyway, you open 15 cards, and if your first pick is, say, I want to take this card, I really like this card, but you're like, I really hope this card wheels. That's what I need to think about this time.
Is that when it goes around to the other seven players at the table that are also drafting with you, that card will still be there. And that's, I think, the idea is that if there's a player that is on your board that you value higher than someone else or than what the general idea would be in your league, I think trying to see if that player might
I'm going to see if I can wheel Mitch Marner in my draft. That's what I'm going to do to put it into Magic the Gathering drafting terms. But anyway, I should give a disclaimer here, and we should have done this up front, that we are by no means fantasy hockey experts.
No.
Like, and I don't, you know, I got a lot of stuff hockey related to do, you know, during the season. That's our job. And so I don't have the time to kind of like a lot of the time sit and read up on power play constructions, because that's the other thing I didn't quite realize is that like getting a top power play forward on a team is really important. If your team is valuing power play points like highly, right? If you have a one weight for like if you have say 3 for goals, 2 for assists, and 1 point for a power play point, well, each goal or assist on the power play is going to be more valuable, which is funny because we had proposed in our league to basically devalue power play points so that even strength points are worth more. So we would maybe set a negative weight on power play points, which would and then raise up. So maybe raise goals and assists to 3.5 and 2.5 weights respectively, and then put a negative 0.5 weight on power play points so that power play points are worth 3. And even strength goals are worth 3.5.
So let's say what would that look
to
like?
Score goals at even strength and get assists at even strength.
So should I put right now? Oh, sorry, go. I was going to say what should the power play point weight be?
Do negative 0.5 and then do 3.5 and 2.5.
Okay, sorry.
I don't think
ahead.
It really changes the rankings. That
I think
much, anyway.
I think the idea behind the power play point and the shorthanded point or special teams points or whatever is like the fact that in real life, you are much higher utility if you are playing able to play special teams, and therefore it's trying to reward that.
Yeah.
Like, part of the issue with, like, the third line defensive forwards sometimes, like, take one of my favorite players who has now returned to Boston, Danton Heinen, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't play any special teams. He's not really a utility on the power play. He doesn't really play shorthanded. Like, he's a good defensive forward, but he does it in a different way. And so he's never been a penalty killer. And so, like, he's very limited as a player because of that. Like, in all honesty, that's why I just had a PTO. Like, so I think maybe I'm giving whoever started this trend, like, too much credit, but I'm thinking maybe that was the idea behind it. It was, like, it's just a proxy for, like, someone who could play special teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, think about, like, Ryan Nugent Hopkins, right? Like, playing on the top, Edmonton's top power play unit next to McDavid and Draisaitl, right? Like, that's something where it's like, if you put Ryan Nugent Hopkins on, I don't know, say Arizona's top power play unit, I don't think he's getting nearly as many power play points. You know, it's just something where I've always felt like, well, hold on. Power play scoring rates are way higher than even strength. So, like, why are we giving, like, it's easier to score goals on the power play than it is at even strengths, but you still get more value in a fantasy league. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I just thought that was a fun thought. Did we do that last year, bro?
No, we didn't. We talked about doing it in our league, and I think we might be adding more players, and I need to probably get it
but
set up pretty
I
soon.
I would say that the thing that was irritating to me was that late in the season, when all of the power play top units are basically set, and you get a player who's injured, so you lose one of your forwards on a top power play on a team. Then you have to go try to replace them, and there's nobody left in the league who plays power play time, which is then frustrating if you have a lot of injuries and you lose out on a couple players who play, like, top power play time. That was kind of frustrating to me, was that, like, well, I could get, like, you know, say, like, I'm trying to think of a player off the top of my head who plays, like, top line even strength minutes but isn't on the top power play for a team. But it doesn't matter. But
Not Matthews. No, there's some. Who am I thinking of that? Maybe I'm thinking shorthanded. I'm thinking more shorthanded than anything.
Anyway, I've rambled about this.
Yeah,
for way too
I think
long.
It. I think it's a really interesting idea that we could float it again. It doesn't really change the rankings if you do it this way. I think it. The idea of trying to value even strength points over power play points is something that I think is kind of interesting, because it might allow players who you wouldn't normally think of as good fantasy players to maybe be draftable and playable, and you could then have them on your team, where a lot of times you end up taking, like, you know, like, oh, this guy's not very good, but I guess he's going to get some power play time, so you just take
him. It's also,
which is,
like,
also a fun thing.
It's also like Brady Tkachuk as, like, one of the top 20 power play, or one of the top 20 fantasy players consistently.
Yeah. Or Kyle Connor.
Just because Brady Tkachuk just hits everything.
Yeah.
Right? And he shoots like crazy. And he's got decent point totals. But if you just hit and shoot and block shots that much, like, yeah, you just, like, jump up a lot. And he's on the top power play.
Yeah.
And so it was also Stützle was pretty interesting.
But he also is kind of higher in some of the – I was looking at the ESPN rankings, who also – the one thing I was kind of interested in, that we had Shesterkin, I think, fifth or sixth as the – sixth goalie, I think, or fifth goalie. But actually, like, ESPN has, I want to say they have their number one goalie is Sorokin, and then it's Ottinger, and then it's Georgiev, which is interesting. I was like, third? Really? And then I think Shesterkin is the fourth, but they have Stützle at 16 overall, like, overall of all players, which I was like, oh, wow. Like, I guess that he maybe did have a good fantasy year last year. But the last thing I will say, because I didn't really cover this about Luke and I as fantasy managers, is that I'm not a very good manager. That's maybe the main reason why our fantasy projections
failed. Do you yell at your
me.
Players?
I just had a couple Zach. Weeks.
Oh,
where
he would sit there. Just, who were the goalies?
Well, it was the goalies.
Oh, Demko.
It was goalies.
You should have heard Josh on the nights when Demko got lit up at the start of last season. He was just like, God damn it. You know, he was really angry.
Well,
about
I watched. I was like, hell yeah, Thatcher Demko. Our projection's really high. And then, you know, he's still like a top 20 goalie by the projections here, which is me. I'm not going to take Demko again because he really burned me last year. But the thing was that There were like way more nights where I just forgot to set my lineup. I just like didn't put players in. I like missed on points.
Yeah, Josh
on the bench.
Was really bad about
setting
his lineup. And so
like I was talking about how I like, yeah, you know, we used our projections all the way through and like, but then I didn't follow through by like making sure that I was actually managing
my team.
The other thing
I will say is that we had a couple of our friends who were not really hockey fans and we were like, hey, you want to play? And they were like, sure. And then they got like super into it. And one of our friends was like watching early, like, you know, like he picked up Erik Karlsson and Brent Burns within the first couple weeks of the season.
And Montour, I think.
And Montour. And like, I was like, how the hell did you pick, how did you find these guys? Like you weren't even a hockey fan. I'm like supposed to be good at this shit. And you're just out here, look like reading the waiver wire or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're seeing Erik Karlsson, whatever. And you just buy in. And then like,
so let's just say some of the people in our league who were not hockey fans became more of a hockey fan than I am, really. Cause they were like watching Twitter for like injury updates. They were like reading like local newspaper articles and stuff, like to get like info on players. And it was like, I got to give credit to our league. It was fun. But
yeah.
Anyway, I felt like
I'm going to win this time, though.
Yeah, Luke and I got a goal this year.
I got to, yeah, I got
to. I think we'll kind of get close to, we're getting close to the end here. But for the most part, I think we're very happy with the projections. They are right in line from a modeling standpoint with what they were last season. I did update all of them, so they include last season now, and I made a few more tweaks here and there. And I think the tool is, at least from our experience, and we've heard from other people, I think it's a really handy thing to have up when you're drafting, when you're getting ready for your league. And also, we haven't even covered this, but we have in-season kind of tools as well that account for like rest of season projections and these things, which we'll cover later
and
as
the
season goes on. And
over and underperforming is pretty fun. Yeah. I think that tool has been kind of fun to look at.
Which we completely overlooked here because we haven't gotten to that point yet in the season. But I'll probably start updating that I want to say it's like 2 or 3 weeks into the season where that starts getting updated with injuries. And I think it's a really beneficial tool overall for fantasy players. And maybe Sean will utilize it this year.
Yeah,
with his league.
I heard he was last in his league last year. So that's.
I think all three
of
us.
I was not last in my league.
I think all three of us didn't do that great. I mean, so to be honest, like Luke. Yeah.
I was impaired for my draft.
Impaired?
No, I don't remember. I think I was extremely tired. Like, I think I came back from Texas.
Oh.
Like, after, like, coming back from Singapore. And, like, it was, like, the night before the season started or something. I don't remember, but I, like, was not prepared at all. I put no preparation. I just drafted completely blind. So, yeah, like, maybe I could use this and then go from the bottom of the barrel.
That was a you problem.
Start at the bottom, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. I feel like Sean's just been sitting here and listening to us ramble on.
Well, what's new, right?
Yeah.
I think this was fine. I think, Josh kind of finished it up here like a minute ago or so.
Well, I had a thought that we could cover some of our new skater similarity stuff, but we are way out over time now.
And so now that we're past Labor Day here, right? Maybe we'll go back to weekly.
No white. And
no
then you go back to weekly, bro. Is that what you said?
Yeah, maybe we just go back to weekly because I feel like stuff's going to start ramping up here, and we're probably looking
at that Zegers contract in.
Yeah,
we can give everybody a lesson on Dixie D'Amelio.
We got one from Sean because I had no idea who that was before we started. But yeah, so maybe we'll probably be going back to weekly here because we're going to have the team
weekly podcast.
Weekly
by the way.
Podcast. And now I think now we're in September that we'll probably try to stay on the normal Monday nights, unless we might change it. I'm not sure.
We're on a Tuesday night because it was Labor Day in the U.S., so we needed to not work on Labor Day, you know, celebrate the workers of the world.
Anyway, so we'll be back next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. See you then.
Take it easy, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.